Hello everyone, thanks for joining us today. We are going to be talking about open source, but specifically Node.js today. Today we have Chris Anderson and Arunesh Chandra, so thank you for being here today. And so I guess we're going to start out by talking about what you guys do at Microsoft in terms of Node, of course. So Chris, did you want to take it?
Yeah, sure, I can start. I work at Microsoft in Azure App Service. I work on web apps, work a lot in trying to improve the Node experience, making sure that deployments are nice and smooth, things like that. And then I'm also working on some cool new stuff where we're bringing Node.js support to our web jobs technology, so it'll be really easy to kind of write some short, simple functions to react to events inside of Azure.
Cool, yeah. My name is Arunesh, and I work on the Chakra team. Specifically working on trying to integrate Chakra Core into Node.js. That's the work I'm driving.
Great. So tell us a little bit more about yourselves. I mean, how'd you guys get involved in Node, prior experience, how you guys get involved in open source, things like that. So whoever wants to start.
Yeah, sure. I was a web developer throughout college, and then in one of my classes, I saw a talk on Node.js, and I was a big JavaScript guy. I loved the client-side pieces way more than the server-side pieces. Mm-hmm. I saw that talk by one of my classmates. I picked it up and like haven't really stopped since then. I worked in the SQL org for a long time, and was actually one of the people helping to drive that we actually had a proper Node SQL server driver.
Nice.
So.
Yeah, I was a Windows developer a long time back, and when I joined this Chakra team, we had this a project about Windows 10 IoT Core was being discussed, and we were thinking about bringing Node support to that platform, and that's how I got involved into supporting Node.js and extending the reach of Node.js through Chakra Core. That's how I got involved in this project. Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. I guess, do you have any questions yet, or any questions yet? Okay, no worries, I think there's a little bit of a delay. What do you guys like most about being in the open source space in terms, especially within the Node community?
Mm-hmm. It's a very vibrant community, I must tell you. I was speaking at a conference last month at Node Interactive, and the energy behind this technology is just amazing. We saw big companies from IBM's and things like that to small startups, all really engaged in this open source technology, and the vibrancy of this community is just very infectious. In fact, I should say, so I love that part about it.
I mean, definitely it's the energy. When you're working in an open source, if I have an idea, I can go ahead and just code that up, put that into a branch, send that out to the community, see what feedback I have. I don't need to wait to get feedback from customers. So that to me is the biggest part as a product manager working in open source and around Node. Like the size of the community, that energy that comes with it, it really empowers me to do my job better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And since first we're talking about the community, things of that nature, what are some of your favorite projects you've worked on with Node at Microsoft? I know obviously you have something to share if people don't already know the announcement, but just, do you want to go ahead?
I mean, it's always the current stuff that makes me happiest because it's like the thing that I'm currently drawing my energy from. The scripting stuff we have going on inside of web jobs, I really like the ability to just write some lightweight code to listen on a queue and react and process some images in a blob. So That to me is great. I love working with the community as we're doing that. We it's relatively small right now, but we'll be doing some bigger blogs here soon, and hoping I can kind of grow that around there. And that'll be really fun for me. I'm really looking forward to that.
Okay, so we have a question.
Okay.
When is Microsoft going to fix the long path issue on Windows?
Oh, okay. I have a good answer for that. I mean, so it's not a question of Microsoft fixing this issue or not, but it's actually been addressed somewhat. So if you're using NPM 3 or higher, it actually does some deduping and collapsing of the dependency tree such that the long path issue ends up not occurring as frequently. To fully fix the issue, it's basically rewriting the way that Windows does the path issue, the way that it deals with paths and the path length limits there. But you no longer have that same, I have like when I installed the Azure SDK, I remember the first time it had like a 10 dependency long tree, and so it was hard to do anything except for at the very root of my drive. So now it's actually possible to work with that a lot easier.
Okay.
So yeah, upgrade to NPM 3. That's your answer.
Okay. Did that answer your question? Okay.
Well, there's a delay.
Yeah, a bit of a delay, yeah. Then Arnish, what's been your favorite? Oh, sorry.
More questions.
Take another question.
Yeah, let's take the questions.
Okay, so is Node.js suitable for embedded development?
So that I can take that question. Okay. Node.js is actually very popular in you know getting into the IoT space. So mm-hmm. you know IoT is kind of a section of you know the embedded people have gone into the IoT space as well. And Node.js, we find you know there's a lot of activity around that. In fact, the Node.js Interactive Conference had a dedicated IoT track for Node.js. Mm-hmm. So it is a good you know lightweight you know framework to start out on an embedded space as well, and there are a lot of NPM modules which are specifically geared towards IoT space to help Node.js developers get started with it. So I do feel that IoT and Node.js they really go together.
That's actually my pet project right now. Is I have a talk at the beginning of next month, mm-hmm. and I have a module that I forked because it was a little abandoned called NodeHID, which lets me play with a little LED light directly connected to my computer with a USB. So, you know, nice and simple thing. I'm going to show it connected to my website and all that kind of stuff. But it was really easy and fun and like very intuitive to get started.
Yeah, the part which is you know it's so simple and easy to get started with, mm-hmm. and you don't have to write a ton of code. There's a whole bunch of modules already available. And there's a lot of best practices also available on the internet. So very simple to get started with embedded in IoT with Node.
Great. So Node.js and IoT, guys. Keep that in mind. Any more questions come up? No worries. Did you want to kind of talk about your favorite projects as well?
Yeah, so again, you know, same as Chris was saying, you know, the thing which I work on currently, you know, just drives me, you know, that passion comes alive in the current thing which I'm working on. And, you know, we have announced that we'll be submitting a PR to Node.js mainline with Jeff before, and that's what I'm currently working on. And, you know, the day we decide to make that happen, it'll be a good day.
Great. Great.
So, one question.
From lots of stuff, what languages do you guys code in?
So I'm a C++ developer mostly, and I have actually, because I work on the engine side of things, but recently with the IoT and Node.js, I have picked up Node.js as my second language.
Nice.
Yeah.
I got started doing Visual Basic, then I kind of moved on to doing like Java, building Java web applications, building Android applications. That kind of led to a love of JavaScript as I started building more kind of mobile web clients, so I didn't have to write Java and Android anymore. and then I kind of came to Microsoft and I did the more traditional C#, C++, like kind of deal. But now it's pretty much JavaScript all day, all the time, with a little bit of .NET sprinkled in here and there.
Great. Any last questions from our viewers? I'm going to wrap things up a little bit. Good. Okay, well, thank you so much for your time, guys, and be sure to tune in. Oh, last couple of questions. Oh, boy, okay.
There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Gulp HTML parsing. Did you guys catch that
one?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I'm not sure quite sure that a Periscope chat is the right way to answer that question.
Yeah.
If you go and ask me on Twitter, I can probably find you a good answer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good question. At Spiharsh, what do you feel about JavaScript compared to other languages?
I mean, it's to me, like, JavaScript is a lot like English. For like, to me, it's got a lot of things to, you know, hate in it here and there. There's definitely the bad parts, but I mean, there's definitely JavaScript the good parts. The things that we've introduced in ES6, the kind of more agile pace I see coming with ES7,
mm-hmm.
I think these are all good things. And really, as I'm writing JavaScript, it feels much more, you know, expressionful than I am with a lot of other languages. So I'm really happy when I'm writing JavaScript more than pretty much any other languages. I feel really comfortable in it.
I mean, dynamic languages have their own benefits, and that is really you can be more agile and fast in developing, you know, your ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are, you know, the other end of these dynamic languages where, you know, TypeScript and all that, where, you know, it addresses some of the shortcomings of the real dynamic nature of your language. So you can have more structured way of writing JavaScript using some of these, you know, offshoots of JavaScript. So I feel overall that is a really great language.
Writing good JavaScript can take some more discipline than writing like good, you know, C# code. But you know, good JavaScript code is as good as any other language out there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Great. So I think that's it for the questions. Oh, just kidding.
Most annoying.
One last question. Again, just a bit harsh. What's the most annoying experience you've had with JavaScript?
I'm not a huge JavaScript.
To the point where you can't think of a single instance.
Yeah.
I mean, the most annoying experience I'd say that I've had is generally been kind of trying to figure out how to get ES6 features working inside of Node in a reliable, production-friendly way. Babel's kind of become the standard there, so, you know, the more I've relied on Babel, the better that's gotten. I'm really looking forward to, like, Node Chakra being able to push more of those ES6 features deep into the core of Node. I'm hoping that'll make life easier. That competition between V8 might inspire V8 to actually catch up. But that, to me, is definitely probably the biggest issue that I face day-to-day, is I really want to push the edge of the kind of the functionality I'm using in my code, but I always need to kind of balance that with being easily able to maintain and deploy that code.
Yeah. One thing I would add is with Node Chakra, the intention we have is to kind of grow the Node.js pi in general, not much about, you know, being very competitive or replacing the V8 or something like that. But it is about bringing Node.js to other platforms where it didn't have support before. So Windows 10 IoT Core was one of those example where the traditional default Node.js would not work, and we thought, you know, bringing Node.js to that platform was a great idea generally for the Node community. So, I mean, that's our intention to continue to grow Node.js as a framework and technology. We love it, and, you know, we want to contribute even more.
Great. So, with that, we love Node.js.
We do.
And thank you for joining us. Thank you to our guests. And if you have any last questions, you can tweet us at this handle, open@Microsoft, or you can email us at opensource@Microsoft.com. So, thank you again for joining us, and stay tuned for next week when we have Cloud Foundry.
Bye.
Bye.